Let us begin our analysis by showing how nature employs this law in behalf of the tillers of the soil. The farmer carefully prepares the ground, then sows his wheat and waits while the law of increasing returns brings back the seed he has sown, plus a many-fold increase. But for this law of increasing returns, man would perish because he could not make the soil produce sufficient food for his existence. There would be no advantage to be gained by sowing a field of wheat if the harvest yield did not return more than was sown. With this vital tip from nature, which we may gather from the wheat fields, let us proceed to appropriate this law of increasing returns and learn how to apply it to the service we render, to the end that it may yield returns in excess of and out of proportion to the effort put forth. First of all, let us emphasize the fact that there is no trickery or chicanery connected with this law, although quite a few seem not to have learned this great truth, judging by the number who spend all of their efforts either trying to get something for nothing or something for less than its true value. It is to no such end that we recommend the use of the law of increasing returns, for no such end is possible within the broad meaning of the word success. Another remarkable and noteworthy feature of the law of increasing returns is the fact that it may be used by those who purchase service with as great returns as it can be by those who render service. For proof of which, we have but to study the effects of Henry Ford's famous $5-a-day minimum wage scale, which he inaugurated some years ago. Those who are familiar with the facts say that Mr. Ford was not playing the part of a philanthropist when he inaugurated this minimum wage scale, but to the contrary, he was merely taking advantage of a sound business principle which has probably yielded him greater returns in both dollars and goodwill than any other single policy ever inaugurated at the Ford plant. By paying more wages than the average, he received more service and better service than the average. At a single stroke, through the inauguration of that minimum wage policy, Ford attracted the best labor on the market and placed a premium upon the privilege of working in his plant. I have no authentic figures at hand bearing on the subject, but I have sound reason to conjecture that for every $5 Ford spent under this policy, he received at least $7.50 worth of service. I have also sound reason to believe that this policy enabled Ford to reduce the cost of supervision because employment in his plant became so desirable that no worker would care to run the risk of losing his position by soldiering on the job or rendering poor service. Where other employers were forced to depend upon costly supervision in order to get the service to which they were entitled and for which they were paying, Ford got the same or better service by the less expensive method of placing a premium upon employment in his plant. Marshall Field was probably the leading merchant of his time, and the great Field store in Chicago stands today as a monument to his ability to apply the law of increasing returns. A customer purchased an expensive lace waist at the Field store but did not wear it. 2 years later, she gave it to her niece as a wedding present. The niece quietly returned the waist to the Field store and exchanged it for other merchandise. Despite the fact that it had been out for more than 2 years and was then out of style. Not only did the Field store take back the waist, but what is of more importance, it did so without argument. Of course, there was no obligation, moral or legal, on the part of the store to accept the return of the waist at that late date, which makes the transaction all the more significant. The waist was originally priced at $50, and of course it had to be thrown on the bargain counter and sold for whatever it would bring. But the keen student of human nature will understand that the Field store not only did not lose anything on the waist, but it actually profited by the transaction to an extent that cannot be measured in mere dollars. The woman who returned the waist knew that she was not entitled to a rebate. Therefore, when the store gave her that to which she was not entitled, the transaction won her as a permanent customer. But the effect of the transaction did not end here. It only began. For this woman spread the news of the fair treatment she had received at the Field store far and near. It was the talk of the women of her set for many days, and the Field store received more advertising from the transaction than it could have purchased in any other way with 10 times the value of the waste. The success of the Field Store was built largely upon Marshall Field's understanding of the law of increasing returns, which prompted him to adopt as part of his business policy the slogan, "The customer is always right." When you do only that for which you are paid, there is nothing out of the ordinary to attract favorable comment about the transaction. But when you willingly do more than that for which you are paid, your action attracts the favorable attention of all who are affected by the transaction and goes another step toward establishing a reputation that will eventually set the law of increasing returns to work in your behalf. For this reputation will create a demand for your services far and wide.